You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Welcome to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randall. Dive into the live courtroom drama as we bring you unfiltered audio from one of the most riveting trials of the year. Accused of multiple marital murders, Randall's fate unfolds before us. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. This is Dark Vows.
You said you were a bicycle cop.
Yes, I was.
For a couple of years?
Yes.
You said you worked gang territories?
Yes.
And in those gang territories, did you happen to make arrests for cocaine?
Yes.
Do you know the effects? Do you know, as a police officer, the effects of cocaine on our society?
Generally, yes. Oh, on our society?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a blight on our society. It's awful that people are addicted to cocaine.
Could you repeat that, please?
It's a blight on our society that people are addicted to cocaine and crack cocaine.
Why?
Because they're not...
Relevance? Well, I think this is outside the scope of what any of this was going on. He's talking about people being addicted. You don't have any relevance.
Yes, sir. It is fair to say that you examined the inside of that scene, correct?
Yes.
You looked for different things. Did you look at the master bedroom?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Did you notice that beyond where Sharon's head is, see where I'm pointing? Do you see? That's the master bedroom in there, right?
Yes.
And there was blood all forming and sort of stained into the carpet of the master bedroom, right?
Right. There was blood pooled into the carpet, and then there was the areas all around it where the blood had been smeared and transferred.
You're familiar with footprints, aren't you?
Yes.
Footprints at a crime scene.
Certainly.
Footprints can be very valuable at a crime scene, depending on the situation, right?
Yes, and depending on the analysis of that individual footwear, yes.
If somebody steps in blood and then continues to walk, you make a good blood prints. In other words, where you can really see the form of the shoe.
Yes, they're referred to as patent prints, where you transfer blood from one object to the other.
And it's fair to say that there are experts in law enforcement that can actually look at footprints like that and determine whether they actually match a particular pair of shoes.
Yes.
Depending on the situation.
Depending on the shoe. Yes.
Depending on the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to show you, first of all, what's being admitted is State's Exhibit 86. Do you see that?
I do.
And by the way, before I move any further, that's a phone on top of Mrs. Randall's legs, right?
Yes, it is. It still displays 911. It was still connected for quite a lengthy period of time.
Well, before I move on, when you say it displays 911, it actually doesn't. It displays 9114, doesn't it?
If there's a 4 after that, I know it's when he connected to 911 and it continued on. We were able to trace it back to the time that he called.
Right. So it was a 911 call, but the face shows you the numbers, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And I'll come up with another photo that's a little more clear on that. But you don't independently remember it saying 9114?
No, I don't.
Okay. You see the blood all, and I am going back to Exhibit 86. You see the blood in the master bedroom, right?
Yes, I do. It's pooled out onto the Berber carpet.
There is absolutely no blood prints into that master, is there?
We didn't find any blood prints, no.
And when I say blood prints, I mean shoe prints of any type.
Right, where someone had transferred it into the master bedroom, no.
And in fact, in State's Exhibit 106, we can see that there is a sort of a house carpet, for lack of a better term, now placed over the blood, right?
Yes, we found those in each room. There was a carpet.
And that's done so that law enforcement or first responders could actually come in without doing exactly what we've been talking about, leaving blood prints all throughout the house.
Law enforcement, meaning us processing the scene, not first responders, because the body, Sharon's body, has been removed from the scene at this point. So this is afterwards in documenting the scene.
Now, in that same picture, we can see that there are drawers that have been removed from cabinets, right above.
Yes, that's correct.
And what appears to be a jewelry box?
Yes.
So it appears that Miss Randolph is laying there, bleeding, leaving this big stain of blood, and yet we can clearly see these drawers removed and no blood prints towards them, right?
That's correct.
States 108 is a picture of all those drawers, right?
Yes.
Okay. Somebody had gone through drawers in that house. Fair to say?
Yes.
In different rooms, right?
Yes.
You have had situations in your career, let's say with bank robberies, where a bank robber is interrupted in the middle of the bank robbery and there's some kind of shootout or something happens, something goes wrong during the bank robbery.
Certainly.
Burglars sometimes get caught because homeowners come home or they get caught red-handed running out of door and there's a police officer there. It happens, doesn't it?
Yes, we have that. It's called, you refer to it as a hot prowl.
There were many officers at that scene, weren't there?
Yes.
I think I counted with Detective Mogg somewhere over 30. Seem out of place?
That's fair to say on the looking at the CAD printout.
And on the 911 call, we can hear Thomas Randolph. And at one point, he's like, should I open the door? Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. That was right before he started CPR at 6 minutes, 30 seconds.
There was a place before CPR where Mr. Randolph says, should I go lock the door so the man can't, you know, the man can't get in because I can see him. Remember that? He wants to lock the garage door.
Yes, that's about 3 minutes into the call.
And then at some point, he's doing CPR, and he's saying, should I open the door? Do you remember that? And the fire department says, no, keep doing CPR. Do you remember this?
It was right after he completed the instruction for CPR and right before he started the compressions, he suggested he open the door.
And he's calling for help for his wife, right? He's calling 911 and asking what to do. He doesn't know what to do with his wife, right?
Yes, he said that early on, about 45 seconds into the call.
The only way that paramedics are going to get in that house is if he opens and unlocks the door to let them in, right?
Yes, I mean, the paramedic said, tell Metro, tell your officers to get in any way they can.
So what he's saying is, if I go unlock the door, maybe they can come in and help. Fair?
Objection, speculation.
It seems like if he can answer the question.
If he knows.
That's what he's saying.
I know right before he started with the compressions and the paramedics telling him to focus on doing this for his wife, he said, I should go unlock the door or open the door. It's not unlock, but open the door.
Okay.
And the paramedic said, no, you need to focus on this.
Yeah. Just after Mr. Randolph leaves the residence, he's ordered out, isn't he, by police officers? When they see him, they're telling him, come out.
Yes.
Standard procedure. They don't.
Certainly.
It's a very dangerous situation. They want him to come out, right?
Certainly.
Mr. Randolph complained numerous times in these statements that it took so long for help to come to Sharon. He says it took 30 minutes. They didn't come. Do you remember him saying these things?
I remember him saying that, yes.
Hey, at one point he says to you, did she die instantaneously? Do you remember that in the statement we just
yes.
heard? He said because he thought of her on the cold floor.
Yes.
That 911 tape is over 18 minutes long, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And what it shows is it shows that paramedics never come. In that 18 minutes, nobody comes in there and helps Ms. Randolph, do they?
I can't tell that from the actual call. I know that in 7 minutes and 30 seconds that Mr. Randolph leaves to open the door and you can hear officers challenging him. Then you can hear the maybe four voices of officers clearing the residence.
Okay,
you can hear paramedics asking for Metro to give a code 4 so that they can go in, but I don't hear paramedics.
Okay, so before we listen to a portion of the 911, you said yesterday that you thought this crime scene had been preserved, right?
Yes.
Officers go in and they walk around what appear to be walking around the area of this hallway before that crime scene is secure at all. In fact, they're sweeping the house, right?
Yes, you can hear them clearing the house, yes. They're so conversing with each other.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. So they would be walking around in the area where potential evidence could be?
That's possible, yes.
Okay. Could we hear that? While we're waiting for that to happen, you would agree with me. Have you listened to all 18 minutes?
Yes, I have.
After there's a sweeping of the house by, you said, maybe 3 officers, because you really can't tell. You're just hearing voices, right?
About 3 or 4 voices, what I hear.
One's a female, right?
Yes, talking to Toby Maldonado. I can hear her use Toby's name.
And you actually hear them identify there's a body there where they're realizing their body's in there.
Yes.
It's obviously probably a very kind of a scary situation, even for police officers.
Certainly.
Okay. And so we know that those officers are going around in this particular area where there is evidence to be collected, correct?
Potentially.
And when you're sweeping a house, you're not worried about kicking a cartridge, are you?
That's not true. It's protocol to make every effort to preserve the crime scene, even though you are performing that function. Officers know that. So this isn't a SWAT entry where they're doing a dynamic entry and running through the house. This is a slow and methodical clearing of the residence. They would see obvious evidence if that was presented to them, and they wouldn't disregard it.
Detective O'Kelly, these people in that house are looking for potential suspects, shooters, something along those lines, right?
Certainly.
They're looking for somebody who could just turn around and shoot a police officer, right?
Yes.
So you imagine their focus is danger. We've got to make sure there's no danger, right?
Their focus is everywhere as they're clearing the house, yes.
And you would agree with me that in doing that, in clearing that house, that one thing that they would want to do is make sure that there's nobody hiding in bedrooms, under beds, anything along those lines.
I'd agree with that.
And they want to make sure of that because they don't want to let some poor paramedic come in. They don't want to let some poor paramedic come in, and then all of a sudden the paramedic's dealing with the hidden guy under the bed with a gun, right?
Correct. Or crime scene analysts or responding officers afterwards, yes.
Okay. So if we could play that now and just hear the portion of the officers in there. Can hear officers come in.
All right, guys, I'm stuck. We're going to be so long to go right into Clear Eye.
Okay, Detective, that appears to... I stopped it at 12 minutes. And after that, the jury can listen to it because it's being admitted. But it, we just hear sort of a silence after that for the rest of the 18 minutes.
Yeah, yes, we do, until 911 says disconnect. You hear her say, I'm disconnecting right before it stops.
The reason we can hear those officers sweeping that house is because that phone is live. It's live to 911 on Mrs. Randolph's body, right?
That's correct.
That's what we're hearing. We're hearing the officers, and the speaker is that phone.
Yes.
And I guess another point that I want to make sure is fair is that for that whole 18 minutes, she doesn't get medical attention from paramedics, right?
Yes, from beginning to end, I don't hear paramedics treating her.
In fact, paramedics are delayed because of the dynamic situation in this scene.
Yes, it's even in the report that FD held off for the code 4.
We can see that there were life-saving efforts made upon Miller, right? On Mr. Miller, there were life-saving efforts made on his body.
I don't know that I would qualify as life-saving efforts.
Did you see the plastic on his wrist and the plastic right around his body?
Right. Yes,
that's
I did.
Paramedics at work.
That's making a determination whether there's signs of life.
Okay. So work was done by paramedics upon Mr. Miller, no matter what it was, right?
Those sensors were placed on him, yes, at some point.
But none on Sharon Randolph.
Didn't see any on her, no.
Mr. Randolph complained in those interviews, because Mr. Randolph would have been right outside, right? He was taken outside, and he's either sitting in a patrol car or sitting on the ground or something along those lines.
I'm certain, yes.
He would be the one who sees, no one's coming in to help my wife, right? And that's what he says, you people didn't help my wife. Words to that effect.
I don't know where he was to be able to see the entry and then the officers coming out, but yes, that's fair to say.
It's fair to say he was really frustrated by that. He expressed it, didn't he?
He did in interviews, yes.
That's what I mean. In interviews, he expressed frustration that nobody'd come to aid his wife.
Certainly.
In one of them, he said, well, I don't know if she's dead, right?
Yes.
He said it was horrible. He said, strike that. The body being turned over was rolled over for him to do that. You remember the paramedic fire department saying, roll her over so that we can do CPR.
Yes, I do.
And at some point you hear Mr. Randolph start screaming, Sharon, Sharon, right?
Yes.
While he's on the phone to 911, he says, I can see the man out there, right? I can see who we now know to be Mr. Miller. He can see him.
Yes.
And he's worried about it because he's unsure if he's actually dead or something along those lines.
Yes.
But we know the door must be open to the garage because he's saying, I can see him, right?
Correct.
He was asked, Mr. Randolph was asked what he thought of his wife. If you could describe her in one word. What did he say? She was effing wonderful.
Yeah.
And another time, even before he was asked that, he said she was wonderful.
Yes, best thing that ever happened to me, he said.
He, at one point, you know his father had had a stroke recently, right, because they were going back to Utah.
Yes.
And he said that they actually put his father got some better medical care because of the advice of Sharon. Do you remember him saying that?
I don't recall it specifically, but I'm sure that's true.
We heard this statement yesterday. Do you want me to show it to you, or would you accept it?
No, I'll accept it, certainly.
Going back to the Millers, there was a mask. You remember I talked to you about the gloves, and now I want to talk about the masks. Police went to the Millers within hours of this incident to interview Vita and Billy Miller, right?
I know they were shown the address, and I think the interview occurred later, but yes, it was done pretty quickly.
Mr. Randolph showed officers where they lived.
Yes. He didn't remember the specific address, but he knew where it was, so he showed officers, yes.
So he cooperated and showed officers, this is where that guy lives.
Yes.
And when Vita and Billy Miller were interviewed, both Vita and Billy stated that they were missing a mask, a ski mask.
Yes.
And in fact, Vita said that she hadn't seen the mask since December of 2007. Do you remember that?
Yes.
When did Mr. Miller move in to Vita and Miller and Billy Miller's home?
In December of 2007.
So once Michael Miller shows up on the scene at the Billy and Vita Miller's home, Vita doesn't see that mask again, does she? She said she didn't.
She said it's the same month, yes.
And one thing that was told to police about that mask is it had a big mouthpiece. Isn't that right?
Yes.
You've seen the mask in this case, haven't you?
Yes.
And it's got some kind of sewing of the mouthpiece, like almost looks like a fishing line all the way.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
I do.
Is there somebody closed up a mouthpiece?
Right.
Did you obtain, for purposes of wearer's DNA, Billy Miller's DNA to compare to see if it was on that mask?
Billy Miller?
Yes, sir.
No.
Because that could have told us if, in fact, that was Billy Miller's mask that had gone missing.
It's possible.
As a result of Vita and Billy Miller saying that this mask was missing, the house was searched, wasn't it, for a mask?
Yes, officers checked for the mask.
And no mask was located?
No.
No gloves of any relevance were located?
No.
And that's because the only place you're going to locate that mask is about 2 feet from Michael Miller's head. Isn't that right?
That's where we found the ski mask, laying face up.
And in fact, in police statements, Mr. Randolph says that mask was laying right by Michael Miller. Do you remember that? He said it was laying by him.
I remember him saying that, yes.
And on multiple occasions, Thomas Randolph tells you and other detectives that when he bumped into Michael, something happened to the mask. It pushed up. Do you remember that?
Yes, he told me during the walkthrough that when he bumped in, he bumped up and he could see his chin.
And he had said that in the first statement to Detective Mogg, that something had happened with this mask where maybe he couldn't quite see, right?
I remember that in the second interview. I don't remember the couldn't quite see part in the first interview.
He says it. He talks about this mask being pushed up multiple times, doesn't he?
Yeah, I remember in the second interview you talked about it possibly being rolled up.
Okay. Would you agree that if a mask is obstructing your view, one way to get rid of that problem is take that mask off, right?
I would agree with that.
You're aware of the DNA results in this case, aren't you, as the lead detective?
Yes.
Thomas Randolph is excluded from that mask with DNA?
Yes.
Thomas Randolph told the authorities that he went and looked in these bags to see, bags next to Mr. Miller, to see if he could locate the gun, right?
Yes.
And this is the .22 caliber we're talking about, right?
It's the gun that Michael Miller had, yes.
So Mr. Randolph says he touches these bags looking for the gun, right?
Yes.
And at some point, he says, Thomas Randolph, that he takes this .22 Smith & Wesson six-shot revolver and he throws it away from Mr. Miller into one of the bedrooms. He throws it actually... into northeast bedroom, which is depicted as number 14, right?
Yes, he said he was aiming for the trash can.
So I just want to make sure this is clear. The .38 caliber Smith & Wesson six-shot revolver is the murder weapon.
Yes.
And again, just so we get this down, there are two revolvers in this case. One a .38. It's got a wood grip. Smith & Wesson kind of looks like the .22. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, they're about the same, same size. K-frame, yes.
But one fires .22s and one fires .38s.
Yes.
And we know the .38 is found near the body of Sharon Randolph, right?
50. Yes, in the drum room against the south wall.
Just for purposes of this diagram, don't mean to... Okay, but it says east bedroom, just for purposes of the diagram. I know what you're saying.
Certainly.
Right. Okay. 15, the .38 is the murder weapon, right?
Yes.
Mr. Randolph doesn't say he takes... I'm going to show you State's Exhibit 90. That's the .38, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And you see there's a mark right on the wall. I don't know if it comes out very well. Right above it, you see there's like scratch marks.
I can see it. I'm familiar with it. You can see it from here. It comes all the way down to here.
Almost like the gun had...
Actually, I think it goes further up. So maybe here and then all the way arcs down.
Like the gun, some portion of the gun had hit the wall and sort of scraped down. Something along those lines.
That it scraped against the wall, possibly. Just that it's in the area of where the grip is. It just seemed odd. I did document it.
You found in your experience in law enforcement that oftentimes people will want to dispose of a murder weapon, right?
Yes.
One way to dispose of a murder weapon, if it doesn't belong to you and it's not your house, is just to leave it there, right?
It doesn't really dispose of it. It's there at the scene.
It doesn't connect the murderer to it by leaving it at the scene.
Well, and again, that depends on whether or not you're leaving DNA or if there's fingerprints on the casings inside the cylinder. There's other ways to connect a person to a weapon.
Was that gun tested for DNA or fingerprints?
Yes.
And Mr. Miller, we know, had gloves on, right?
Yes, he did.
So Mr. Miller would know I'm not really leaving fingerprints because I've got gloves on.
Certainly.
Not leaving DNA because I got gloves on.
Yes.
Throw this gun down. And don't take it with me. It can't be really caught at my house, right?
No, not unless he touched it without gloves at some point.
And I'm showing you what has been admitted as States 128. This is a picture, not a very clear one, but a picture of the suitcase that had the .22 caliber on it, right?
Yes, so you can see the trigger guard and the barrel.
And I don't see if I can put that over it. And that's at 14, right?
It's in the northeast bedroom, the office. Yep, number
right
14.
There. Okay. Thomas Randolph grabs the non-murder weapon that he says is by Miller's body. Throws it, and he says he's trying to throw it in the trash can.
He's aiming for the trash can, yes.
That is not the murder weapon. The .22 that he's taken from Mr. Miller is not the murder weapon, is it?
No, it is not.
The .38 is.
Yes.
There was a safe in the house, wasn't there?
Yes, there was in the master bedroom closet, a sentry safe.
It was a little safe.
Yeah, small one.
Could you show us just with your hands approximately how big
it was? I'd say it's maybe a foot and a half wide. It was kind of a drawer type safe where once you unlock it, it disconnects from the fixed locking mechanism and pulls out. And then there was a top that lifted up on it.
Well, tell us more about the big safe. Not that one. I don't want to know about that one. I want to know about the big safe in the house. Where was that?
We didn't locate another safe.
There was another safe in that house, wasn't there?
So I've been told there was another safe in the house.
In fact, there was a... Do you remember there's some closet doors, and they are not removed, but sort of off the tracks. Do you remember that?
I believe the inside door in the drum room is off the tracks, yes, and leaning into the closet.
What was in that closet?
Various items of clothing and just what you'd expect to be found in a closet.
I am going to show you what has been marked for identification as proposed Exhibit R. May I approach, huh?
Yes.
Now, Detective, I'm going to show you this picture. There was a point in time where you were back in the house and there were pictures being taken, right? Do you remember you went back in the house with Colleen, Sharon's daughter, and there were pictures being taken?
I don't remember pictures being taken, but we were back at the house a couple of times. We just mentioned the one on July 2nd, we were there. And then September 11th was there as well.
Do you know where she's standing?
It appears as though she's standing on the east wall in that room, the drum room.
And what is she standing in front of?
In front of a brown safe. It appears to be a brown safe.
A large brown safe?
Yes.
I move for submission.
Objection.
Okay, so I want to show you State's Exhibit 99. This purports to be the drum room, right?
Yes, it's the interior door on the closet. As I mentioned, it's off track.
So that door is off track. Okay, Detective O'Kelly, I am showing you what has been admitted as State's Exhibit 99, and we were talking about the drum room, okay? And you mentioned that the doors seem to be off track, right?
One of them does. Okay.
And do you see, I want you to concentrate on the in the closet, on the bottom by the clothes, do you see a brown object?
Yes, I do.
Metal or something along those lines?
Yes, it appears to be the safe that you showed me in the previous picture.
Okay, because now I'm going to show you what we have just admitted as proposed Exhibit R. And you can see Colleen standing by a large safe.
Yes.
When I say large, to be fair, about 24 inches high?
I'd say it's a 2-foot cube.
2-foot cube? Okay. Is it fair to say, Detective, that there are no pictures of that safe taken by crime scene analysts?
Except for the one that you just showed me, and we don't see it discernible as a safe.
You realize that's not a crime scene analyst who took that photograph. Somebody else is taking that photograph.
He's not talking about that photograph. He's talking about the other photograph.
The one you can see a portion of it.
Okay.
It was taken at night.
Okay. So the only one, in other words, you crime scene analysts don't take a picture of that safe like we see it here.
Showing you that it's a safe, no.
Was it open on May 8th/May 9th?
Was the safe open?
Yes, sir.
I have no idea. I mean, the door's up against it. I can't expect that front door of the safe is open.
Was there lots of valuables taken out?
I have no idea.
So fair to say that in this investigation and preservation of the scene, there's a large safe that's not discussed in any report. Fair?
That's fair.
No pictures taken. Fair?
Other than that one where you can see a portion of it, yes. It's not discernible as a safe, I agree with you.
I'm going to show you another picture. It's going to be proposed exhibit T as in Tom. May I approach?
Yes.
Detective O'Kelly, do you see what appears... Do you recognize that person in the picture?
I do. It looks like Colleen with one of her children.
And is this the same drum room?
It is.
Okay. You recognize that?
I do.
Move for submission.
Any objection to T?
Then I can publish.
Yes.
That is Colleen and one of her children in that drum room where we can see the closet door, right?
One closet door. It looks like the outer one's not even there.
It's clearly off its rails.
Yes. We have them in my house. They're very annoying.
There is a picture. Maybe you can remember it. And it shows yellow tape out in front of the house. Do you remember this?
Yes.
This is something you've probably seen more times than you can count in your life.
Certainly.
It means some, I presume, patrol officer is, he or she is taping off the area, telling people, stay back, get back, don't come in here.
Yes.
And one of the reasons you do that is for preservation of a crime scene.
Yes.
You dealt with homicides a long time, right?
Yes.
You saw some very startling things in your career. Right?
Certainly.
Bodies and things like children's bodies, right?
Certainly.
And one of the things you don't want is you guys are trying to work in there, maybe life-saving procedures or, you know, trying to preserve the scene, take pictures of the scene. You don't want some incredibly anxious mother who's like, where's my child? And going in there, right?
No,
you don't
want had that happen. Yes.
Because it's highly disturbing to police during their work, right?
It's more preservation of the scene. It's understandable that you would have that reaction.
And it's understandable because human beings that have lost loved ones, this is very tragic, right?
Certainly.
And the concept that you could, see...
Can we just briefly approach on this?
Yeah.
Your Honor, I would move for the admission of... T and R have already been admitted, but I would move for the admissions of...
S and U.
Yes.
No, Your Honor, and there is a stipulation also on the record that all of these photographs that have just been shown were taken on July 2nd, 2008.
That's correct. So S and U will be admitted. There is a stipulation between the parties that defense exhibit R, S, T, and U was taken on July 2nd of 2008.
Okay, so July 2nd of 2008 is 7 weeks, a lengthy period of time after the incident. Fair?
It is.
So I'm going to go back to State's Exhibit 1. You see, that's the crime scene tape I'm talking about, right? You see that there? It tells people stay away, keep back. Let's preserve this crime scene, right?
Right. They've established an inner and outer perimeter. Well,
okay. And just this that I'm showing you, the exhibit I'm showing you, is taken on the night in question. Maybe in the early morning hours of the 9th, but it's the 8th into the 9th. Fair?
Yes, I can see Lieutenant Robert standing right there.
And we can see you, too, can't we?
Is that me?
Isn't that
possibly
you
me?
Back by the Pontiac, sir?
I was heavier back then. Better looking. That's me.
That's you, isn't it? You're right back there where one of those cartridges is found, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the questioning I wanted to do is make sure that you were talking about, you don't want mothers coming in there because it could be really upsetting, besides the preservation of a crime scene, right?
Certainly.
You don't want family members... Strike that. I'm going to show you and publish Exhibit U. Do you see the arrows up on the wall?
Yes, I do. And the ruler tape.
This was put up a long period of time beforehand by Mr. Randy McPhail, crime scene analyst?
On May 15th, directly after the walkthrough.
And what it depicts is it depicts, those arrows depict blood and brain matter. Fair?
Blood and tissue and, yes, cerebral spinal fluid, yes. And the bullet impact.
What you appear to be doing is explaining that to Colleen. Fair?
Yes.
What does... Is Colleen holding somebody?
I can't tell in that photograph.
Okay. If I show you Exhibit S.
Objection relevance? Then we can broach on this before we start.
Yes. Yes or no, Detective? Are you in that photo S explaining? And when I say S, and in you, explaining the crime scene to Colleen and her child, yes or no?
No. I'm explaining what happened to her mom.
Okay. On the night in question, the 8th into the 9th, you told us that Thomas Randolph had talked to law enforcement at the scene so that they could get sort of a better understanding of what they were dealing with inside that house, right?
Yes.
He did it voluntarily.
Yes.
He then accompanied Detective Mogg and Detective Hardy down to the police station, homicide, and he gave a lengthy interview, right?
Yes, he did.
He cooperated and answered the detective's questions.
Yes.
He then was involved in a walkthrough with you, right?
Yes, 1 week later.
Okay. Several other officers there. Detective Mogg, Sergeant
Detective Wilson. Yes, Sergeant Albee and the videographer.
Okay. And he answered the questions that you asked him, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
At the beginning of the video, did you see that his eyes appeared a little droopy, did you notice that?
I noticed that when Don Bell put the camera up on his shoulder that Mr. Randolph exhibited those traits, yes.
But he still answers all your questions to the best of his ability, he gets down on the floor, right?
Yes, he does.
At one point, you tell him to get down and show you how he was trying to help Sharon.
No, actually, he was doing that on his own. Nobody told him to do that.
You were asking him to reenact the scene,
well,
right?
We're asking him
to reenact the scene, right?
No one asked him to get on the ground. He did it himself, yes.
You asked him to come in there and reenact the scene, didn't you?
Yes, we're going through the scene.
And he got down on the ground to show you how he had done it.
Yes, he did.
He then... DNA was taken from him, wasn't it?
At that time,
At some point, DNA is taken. And when you take DNA from somebody, I've actually seen you do it on video before. You pull out gloves and you pull out a packet and take what looks like a long
Q-tip.
Yeah.
Yes.
You rub it in the mouth.
Okay. They rub it themselves. It's a kit. The gloves are in there. All the paperwork's in there. The Q-tips are in there. The boxes they go in are in there. But you hand them the Q-tip, and then they go on both sides of their cheek.
Sometimes you get warrants to get people's DNA, don't you?
Sometimes, yes.
But in this case, Mr. Randolph said, I'll
voluntary consent.
Yeah, he voluntarily consented. And he voluntarily consented on May 8th into the 9th to let officers search the house as well.
Yes, he did.
And then he gives another interview that we've just gone over, and that is on, for accuracy, the 3rd of June.
Correct.
And he voluntarily proceeds to the police station and answers your questions.
Yes, he did.
Just so I don't forget, there's a mention of a Brady being shot. Do you remember that? A discussion of a Brady. Do you know who Jim Brady is?
Yes, I do.
He was the man who was badly injured when
with Reagan. Yes.
And do you remember when there's a discussion about Brady being shot? That's what it's in reference to.
Yes, I think he's referring to the Brady Bill. Yes.
Okay. Mr. Randolph told you that Michael Miller had made these statements. We heard that in the interview about how he'd been involved. Michael had been involved in criminal activity. Do you remember that?
I don't remember specifically which criminal activity you're talking about.
Do you remember that Randolph said, oh, I didn't believe him, but he was talking about all these things he did.
Like a robbery, there was something?
Yes.
Yes. I remember him talking about that.
He didn't believe him, did he? He said, nah, I didn't take that seriously.
That's what it sounded like.
I thought he was just making up his little story, right?
That's what it sounded like, yes.
Okay. So, and then he continues to tell you how he trusted this murderer, Michael Miller, right? He told you trusted him a number of times.
He told us multiple times that he trusted him, yes.
He told you that Michael Miller knew that Sharon and Thomas were going out to eat at the charcoal room and then a movie, right?
Correct.
Tommy tells you they didn't go to the movie, right?
Yes.
And then they went back home to, for lack of a better word, have sexual relations.
Yes.
He just says it in a bad way, doesn't he? Right?
Yes.
You knew that Mr. Miller, or you being told, had a key to that house.
Yes, that he had it at some point, but had returned it.
There was no sign of forced entry, was there?
No, there wasn't.
But there's a pair of keys. There's a pair of keys in a lock to the shed. Do you know what I'm talking about?
A pair of keys?
Do you remember some keys that are left in a...
Yes. I remember the photograph of those keys, yes.
What was that leading to? If I went in that door and walked in, what would I be going into?
I'm not sure. I'd have to see the reference shot for that particular set of keys.
What? Whose keys were those?
I don't know.
If I wanted to show them to the jury, did you impound them? Were those keys impounded?
No, we only impounded the keys that were inside the black fabric bag.
There was, you know, on a set of keys, sometimes they have, you have your shopping or card. Do you know
yes.
On these keys, it appeared that there were things like that, shopping. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Whose name was on?
I don't know. Which keys are you talking about?
The keys that we're talking about that are in that lock.
I'm not sure.
So it's fair to say there is a set of keys out there that was not impounded, right?
at that house was in a lock.
Yes.
Wasn't impounded.
No.
Wasn't tested for any forensics.
No.
We didn't record who is on those cards at all.
No.
We don't know whose they are.
No.
I am showing you what has been admitted as State 15. Do you see those keys in the door?
Yes, I do. That's the reference shot I was referring to.
And so fair to say, we just, you know, it's a pair of keys, set of keys, we just don't know anything about it. Right? I mean, that's...
I don't know whose keys they are, no.
Your Honor, given the parameters, what you've told me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take our lunch recess. During this recess, you must not discuss or communicate with anyone, including fellow jurors, in any way regarding this case or its merits, either by voice, phone, email, text, internet, or other means of communication or social media. You must not read, watch, listen to news or media accounts or commentary about this case. You must not do any research, such as consulting dictionaries, using the internet, or using reference tools. You must not make any investigation, test the theory of the case, recreate any aspect of the case, or in any other way investigate or learn about the case on your own. And you must not form or express any opinion regarding this case until it's finally submitted to you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 12:25. We will be in recess until 1:40.
All rise for the jury.
You're listening to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph. There's more raw courtroom drama ahead as we bring you unfiltered audio from trial. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a minute. More Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph, next.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago, yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey Bowen, it's gift season!
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.